Johann Sebastian Bach's Cantata 61, Come Now, Savior of the Gentiles. Nancy Argenta and Ingrid Artaud were the sopranos, Anthony Rolfe Johnson the tenor, and Olaf Barr the baritone, with the Monteverdi Choir and English Baroque soloists, led by John Elliott Gardner. That is music that Bach wrote for the first Sunday of Advent, which falls today, and it's one of his earlier cantatas, first presented in Weimar, December 2nd, 1714. You're listening to Biscuits and Bach on 89.9 and WDAV.org. Travis Lipscomb is a pastry chef in the Charlotte area. He is one of the folks who started Spirit and Soul Bakehouse, an indigenous-owned bakery. Travis is not only an expert on French pastry, he's also well-versed in native foodways. And at Spirit and Soul, they focus on pastries through the lens of native foodways. So he's been good enough to join us this morning on Biscuits and Bach to talk a little bit about that. Travis, welcome. I just mentioned that you are a tribal member from Six Nations of the Grand River, which is based in Canada, isn't that right?
Yeah, it is. In Southern Ontario.
And what is your tribe?
Ginyekehaga. I think you probably know it by Mohawk, but Mohawk was actually a word that the French gave us. Our real name is Ginyekehaga.
And this group of, just a quick background, this group of Six Nations, I noticed one of them is, besides your tribe, there's also Tuscarora, which I believe was in the North Carolina area.
Yeah, so they're so during the Indian Removal Act, the Tuscarora traveled from North Carolina to Six Nations to join the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, while a lot of the other tribes were getting pushed to Oklahoma through the Trail of Tears. So.
Okay. For those of us who are not really familiar, how would you describe Native cuisine? And I'm sure it varies from region to region, but what is your experience with Native cuisine like?
At Six Nations, for Haudenosaunee people, it's very much about like what grows on the land, you know, what grows in Haudenosaunee territories. So there's a lot of foraging and hunting too, deer, elk, bear, all that stuff's prominent in indigenous cuisine. But also farming corn is like the biggest thing. Corn's a big part of everybody. I think that's all over Turtle Island. Almost all tribes have a very special relationship with corn.
So when you are marrying these customs and traditions with your training as a pastry chef, what are some of your creations like?
Well, I've been focusing mainly on our croissants, but instead of using like a wheat-based flour, I use a corn-based flour. It's got a really interesting texture and flavor that I've never seen anywhere else. But also, like with the fillings and stuff, also do a lot of stuff that grows wild, like in Haudenosaunee territory, like wild sumac, blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, wild strawberries. Yeah, a lot of fruit-based fillings and drizzles and glaze, but also squash. I do like a squash icing. It's got like amazing texture and flavor because it's real light on the sugar. You still get that the taste from the squash, and it's really cool. I like that one a lot.
Squash icing.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you just make a puree of the squash? And are you talking about yellow squash or are you talking about winter squash? Or?
Yeah, butternut squash.
Oh, yeah.
It's already got like a little bit of sweetness to it. So I get dehydrated squash and a powder it up and then mix it in with like the confectioner's sugar and then do like almond milk usually is what I use to bring it together.
Are there other chefs doing similar things?
Yeah. There's a lot more indigenous chefs everywhere. There's a lot of indigenous restaurants opening up, coffee shops, food trucks. It's really blowing up. It's like in the last 5 years, it's really exploded like the scene. I love the being a part of that conversation, connected with a lot of these other indigenous chefs through the social media and stuff. And it's just really cool to see what everybody's doing and getting all the love from everybody.
Is a lot of this happening here in the Charlotte region and in the South? Or
no, unfortunately, there's very small indigenous population here in the Southeast. There's one reservation in the Catawba Reservation in South Carolina and the Eastern Band Cherokee Reservation outside of Asheville in North Carolina. But yeah, the indigenous population is real small here because of the Indian Removal Act. You know, they pushed everybody out to make way for plantations.
Right. So you are one of a few in our area.
Yeah, And I'm not from here, so this is kind of my adopted home. I'm 700 miles away from my people, my community. But yeah, I've gotten a lot of love here. Everybody's real interested in because they don't know about it. Nobody really thinks about it or what Native people ate, what these traditions are.
It's kind of interesting that, we don't really think about it, and yet I would say in a lot of the traditional foods in the South that I grew up with, probably a huge percentage of those come through Native people. Squash, beans, corn.
Grits is a native food.
Yeah, exactly. How would somebody sample your wares? Do you have a storefront or?
Right now we're just doing pop-ups. So we do a pastry box drop. Last Saturday every month we do, it usually has like four items in it. We'll just take orders on Instagram and we post up. There's a little like bottle shop called Bart Smart on the east side, and we post up there, and people come through and get their boxes. And
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Travis, for sharing your knowledge with us and talking about what you're doing, the creative ways that you're marrying European pastries and native foods. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Travis Lipscomb, who is a pastry chef in the Charlotte area. He's one of the folks who started Spirit and Soul Bakehouse, an indigenous-owned bakery. Music continues on Biscuits and Bach. With some instrumental carols by Charpentier, we'll hear numbers 4 and 9. Les violons du roi are led by Bernard Labadie.